from HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 264, recorded live Thursday, April 28th, 2011. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Glenn Block about the new WCF.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. This episode of Hansel Minutes is actually being recorded in the Netherlands. We are here at the Tech Days, Dev Days events in Belgium and the Netherlands, and I'm sitting here with Glenn Block. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How you doing, man?
I am exhausted. I've given three talks today, and I've got another one in an hour. So, yes, we're having a blast out here. Good times, good times.
Definitely.
Now, folks know you from MEF, the Managed Extensibility Framework, but about a year ago, you moved into another group, another three-letter acronym. Where are you now?
WCF.
Okay. So, in MEF, you were all about plugging components together in, you know, this kind of Lego way that I've been, that metaphor I've been pushing.
Yeah, I just used that in my talk yesterday. I said, Hansel, I had a MEF talk. So, yes, I'm still very much attached to it passionately. And somebody, you know, and I was talking about Legos and I was saying how I've always loved the whole Lego metaphor. So, I'm all over what Scott's talking about.
Very cool. And now you're plugging stuff together using JSON and XML, and we're plugging services rather than plugging in process components.
Yes.
So you're a program manager at Microsoft. What is your current thing that you're pimping right now?
Something new that we announced at PDC, which is called the Web API. And it's basically an evolution of taking WCF forward for offering a better experience for folks that want to expose their capabilities over HTTP to a range of devices. Some could be browsers, but usually if it was a browser, it might be some jQuery that's running. But at the same time, there might be other clients, which could even be other servers that are not browsers that are talking. And it really is about leveraging HTTP to its full extent. And also, it's not about transport independence, which is really what WCF has traditionally been about. It's completely focused on what do I need to do? Give me an ideal experience for building things over HTTP, which includes things like REST.
Okay, so that was a long elevator speech. You know how they always tell you, if you want to sell something, you sell it as if you're on an elevator trip. And I was talking to a guy a couple of days ago. He was giving me his elevator speech. It was about 20 minutes long. And I said, I've long got off the elevator here. So let me back up and then break up what you've said, because there's actually a lot of information there. So WCF, Windows Communication Foundation, that's the services like SOAP and WS.
WS
Foundation, you know.
And MSMQ and right. All these other
And all
things.
Those kind of enterprisey things that yes. I worked on for many, many, many years.
Yes.
That's all over in that organization, and they do big corporate stuff. Like if you're talking to Java and things, you'll use SAML tokens and all those kinds of services.
Yes.
And people may turn their nose up at them, but they run like all the world's financial services and insurance companies.
Yes.
All that kind of stuff. So that's WCF kind of traditional.
Yes.
On the MVC side and the group that I work in, Web Platform and Tools, I can make a MVC application and return some JSON. And that's,
sure.
That's kind of a little service. It's maybe a poor man's service.
Yes.
What you're describing, it's when you say WCF, there's baggage that yes. goes along with the name WCF.
I was aware of that when I joined the team.
Okay. So WCF kind of seems like let's just say that there have been
perceptions.
There have been slides with WCF where Darth Vader was used to represent that. WS Death Star.
Was that one of your decks?
I can't say who would have done such a thing. But well, there were also Rastafarian slides as well. I don't think of like Web 2.0 and lightweight APIs and REST and then WCF in the same breath. Is this like a kinder, gentler WCF?
I would say yes, and I think you need to shift your thinking, because it's definitely a and of course, I need to make, you know, we need to convince you that you should shift your thinking. You shouldn't just shift your thinking because I say that. But we've looked at the industry. I think that we've seen a shift. We've seen a lot of customers coming and saying, look, fundamentally, I do care about services, as you mentioned, but I don't care about services that are soap-based. I care about, I want devices. I want my iOS and my Android, for example, or the Windows Phone, or other types of devices to be able to consume my functionality, because that's really all about creating more customer value. You know, we're in this world now where it's no longer about your PC that's beyond the behind the firewall and you run my software and you install it. It's like, look, if you don't meet my needs, I'm not going to use it. If you don't give me a Yelp app on the Windows Phone, I mean, for me, like when until Yelp came to the Windows Phone, and I still don't know why Groupon's not there, I was, you know, it really impacts my, do I want to keep this device or not?
Right.
I don't say I might not keep my computer because you're making me install this software.
So WCF before, when people would give presentations years ago when it came out, they would say the ABCs of WCF.
Address binding contract, yeah.
Address binding and contract. And they basically made services over anything. And they would always give presentations like, look, I can do SOAP via email, or I can do this contract over that binding and this
FTP.
Addressing. But HTTP won 99% of the time. And people say that WCF brings along a lot of baggage when I just want HTTP.
Yes. So we've, and I agree with that statement, 100%. So you're preaching to the choir here. We've spent the last year investing to have an experience in WCF that is completely targeting HTTP and that is addressing many of those concerns we've heard. Mm-hmm. And the way I look at it is like this. You say baggage, and I use the exact same thing. I say, if you're giving me an API whose strong point is it can talk over multi-transport and it's abstracted me away from the details I actually need in the name of flexibility that I'm not going to use, that's just baggage.
Dude, that was, you just did a great job of kind of describing my experience with WCF. The idea that you've hidden what I care about and taken the things that I need to get done and made them obscure and, you know, off in a corner somewhere.
Exactly. And I think if you look at what people have liked about what we've been doing, and I have to say that so far, 99.9% of the response that we've received since PDC is people really like the direction. You hear things like, it's about time, thank God. And just to give it some context, it's not just about HTTP. It's also about simplifying the developer experience. And I think we've taken a lot of inspiration from your org, caring about things like conventions, and IOC containers and testability and simplifying configuration where you can do stuff in code, like the way you can do it in routing. And also, I used to describe WCF as kind of like the cockpit of a plane. You know, you walk in and it can do a million different things, but you've got 800 switches in front of you and you've got to learn about those 800 switches so you know which ones you need to turn.
The model. When all I want to do is just go forward and then up.
Exactly. The model we have now is a default experience that works in the most common ways that people expect it to work. And the way that we're achieving that is we're working with customers to tell us what that needs to be. We're not sitting there in a lab somewhere where, you know, we've been working tightly with customers from day one before the first lines of code were written.
Okay. But where does it intersect? Because
with MVC.
Well, not just with MVC, but I mean, there's IIS, the web server. You know, there's Windows at the bottom level. There's IIS. And as you move up, you get into managed code. From managed code, over in ASP.NET, we talk about how ASP.NET is the core. It's the fundamental. And MVC, web forms and web pages are just three different kind of sides of the same coin, if I can mix my metaphors.
Sure.
But ultimately, they're just making angle brackets.
Mm-hmm.
99% of the things that we make in ASP.NET are angle brackets. Why couldn't I also make JSON and all sorts of other services and things? Why wouldn't I design the new, you know, Twitter API with MVC?
So I think there's a question of, so first off, you had a question before about what's the difference between this baby service? I think baby service is a nice way to describe it. The biggest thing I would say is, and from what we've seen, the majority of folks that are returning a JSON result from MVC really are, it's an API, but it's an API that is a more of a direct communication between my page to my service. I want to have a more responsive UI experience, and I want to use jQuery. And in order to do that, I've got to be able to return JSON, so it makes sense.
Okay, so let's break that down, because I think that that may have gone over a few people's heads.
Okay.
The scenario that you're describing in MVC is such that I have a page. It's an HTML, and it is guaranteed that it will be viewed in a browser.
Yes.
By a human.
Yes.
And they were going to use the client-side jQuery to make a call, almost always back to myself or another similar page with JSON, and then retrieve some JSON. It's usually I do a small post with a small payload, and I retrieve back a bunch of stuff, and then I do something with it. And you made that term baby service, right? It's a simple service. There's nothing particularly sophisticated.
It's not focused on third-party consumption. It's an implementation detail of providing a better experience to my website.
Okay.
It's the way I would argue.
Okay, so the different you're kind of drawing a distinction between api.twitter.com that a third party might use.
Yes.
And perhaps some services that twitter.com is using to give itself what it needs.
Exactly.
I honestly don't know actually if twitter.com calls back into its own API.
It might.
Wouldn't I want, and in a perfect world, to consume my own service, eat my own dog food, as they say?
Oh, I think people will. The difference I would say is, well, first off, one of the tenants, well, you said a couple of things. I want to step back a second if I can. One of the things that you said was how we're just looking at different angle brackets as, you know, the different models we have, whether it's web pages or this or that, it's all over ASP.NET. Fundamentally, what we're doing is still over WCF. WCF, one of the things you could never criticize WCF about was being too extensible. It turns out it's so extensible that using the existing pieces, we were able to swap from top to bottom the implementations of some of those core pieces to offer a very pure HTTP story. So it may have gone deeper. Like, I think with IIS, there's a lot of places where you just don't touch, and then it's just layered on top. We probably went deeper than that, but it's still fundamentally like we have a channel stack. We do have a contract. The contract, though, is not in your face anymore. It's more implicit. It doesn't get in your way. And why that's important is, in the SOAP world, your contract has to be very explicit because you're sharing this custom thing to the world, and you want them to be able to generate code off of it, like creating a proxy.
Okay.
None of those are key drivers for what we're doing now. So, and the other, go ahead. I will stop there.
I understand. I know that you can talk about this at length because here at the conference here in the Netherlands and in Belgium, you've actually already done 3 talks and have even more to go. So I know you can speak at length.
No, it's fine. Stop me.
But no, it's Hansel minutes though. It's not Hansel hour.
Yes.
So here, here's something I'm starting to kind of put together in my head as I listen to you here. Would you say that, you know, for web pages, for interactions, ASP.NET is good at that?
Yes.
And then baby services, and then, of course, the old, what they call the ASMX stack,
yes.
ASMX. For web pages, sophisticated interactions, and basic services, ASP.NET is appropriate.
Absolutely.
But when you outgrow those basic services, then you move to WCF.
And let me give you a concrete...
Hang on, I'm almost
yes,
done.
Yes, I would say yes, that's correct.
And while it might be conceivable on the other side of that, I could maybe design something with WCF that would make it serve HTML.
I could.
You could. And even have interactions, and it would actually be its own thing that is not ASP.NET.
Yep.
I would quickly outgrow that, and I would want to use ASP.NET.
And so, let me give you an example of that. Somebody's taken Razor. So one of the things we've done in our new stack is make it really easy to plug in whatever representations you want. It's not just about XML and JSON anymore.
Okay.
And if you watch, I recommend you watch my Mix talk where I show how you can integrate with Google Contacts in a very rich way by returning this thing called vCard, which is not text. I mean, it's not XML. It's not JSON. It's a completely different type of markup, but it highlights the power that HTTP has. And why that's really interesting is SOAP was a myth. I wouldn't say SOAP was a myth. SOAP had the idea that all these systems will integrate through one format. What you find when you go to HTTP is there are thousands of formats, and those formats are all tailored very specifically. Like vCard is a very specific way to express an electronic business card. So where we become interesting is when JSON is not the only thing that you're interested in. You want to talk to systems that have proprietary formats that are industry-wide accepted and have a good you know, a good experience for doing it. The other thing you find out is when you're in the browser, all the concerns of HTTP are taken care of for you. Once you get outside of the browser into non-browser clients, if you want to leverage the benefits that the web has to provide for you, you have to be a lot more proactive in doing things that the browser just took care of for you.
I assume you're talking about things like caching and e-tags and
all that stuff. Yes.
Hi, this is Scott coming to you from another place and time. Are you using agile practices to manage your software development? There's lots of tools in the market that manage the steps of a project, but most of them focus on individual roles. Get ready for a solution that caters for the success of the whole team. The guys at Telerik introduced TeamPulse. It's an agile project management tool that'll help you gather ideas, estimate, plan, track progress in a common workspace. Finally, companies, regardless of their size, can use a lightweight and convenient tool that makes all the stakeholders work as a united team, even if they're in different countries. By combining intuitive user interface and the power of Silverlight, TeamPulse removes the roadblocks that you typically face in applying Agile in an effective manner. No more lost data, no disparate systems, no lack of critical analytics regarding the health and velocity of your project. See for yourself, get a free copy for 5 users and 1 project at Telerik.com/TeamPulse. And please do thank Telerik for supporting Hansel Minutes on their Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TELERIK, Telerik. We do appreciate it. There wouldn't be a Hansel Minutes if there wasn't Telerik helping us.
Yeah, a lot of people just think that HTTP is just a matter of saying GET. But honestly, spend some time, and I've done this in banking for things like caching, which is a huge deal in banking. Not only do you have security and things, but you have e-tags, if not modified since, how to manage all those things, private cache, public cache, no cache, and how all those things behave. Those are some really nice functionality that is involved. HTTP is a lot more than just a couple of verbs.
It is. And the way I look at ASP.NET is not that you can't do it there. You can do it in MVC. Some people are doing it. What I would say is that we're being more specific and intentional as opposed to, hey, ASP.NET does a lot of things, mm-hmm. and here's how you could do this. We're saying our whole mission is to provide a really good experience for doing this. So, you know, we're studying the HTTP spec. We're working with people that are experts around HTTP and saying, you know, once you get beyond pages, what are the things that you need? So I'd say that's one big difference. The other difference is that WCF has always offered multiple hosting options. There are people that are hosting WCF where there is no IIS. It's a desktop application or some just console service that I spin up. And that has always been one of the values of WCF, that it supports these multiple hosts, which is not interesting to everybody. But there are customers that are interested that say, look, I just got this backend server that needs to just talk to some data, or maybe it's internal.
Okay, so let me see if I understand then, if we kind of use this Lego metaphor. In my example, MVC snaps on top of ASP.NET, which snaps on top of IIS, and I can snap additional layers on top of MVC to, as I have, make an iCal for like nerddinner.com or make an RSS feed. You're saying that WCF is snappable such that it can even be snapped together outside of IIS entirely.
Oh, yeah.
I could write the Scott service, host something internally that would return, you know, iCal calendar requests over HTTP.
And we have customers that are interested in that. Yes. You can take today, if you go to our Bits on Codeplex, new up an HTTP service host, give it a URI, call the open method. You've got a lightweight server.
Okay.
But it's like you said, it's not going to solve, it's not going to give me model binding and validation and all this other stuff. It's not designed for that. But it is designed to say, if this is the kind of thing that's important to you, like talking to iOS and Android and all these other devices natively that understand different formats, as well as maybe talking to an Atom feed viewer, or like you mentioned, iCal, great example, then it's more targeted for those kinds of scenarios.
Okay, so I have you know, two questions here. One is, do you think that customers are going to be able to kind of deal with the idea that there is this Venn diagram, these two circles that intersect just a little bit, ASP.NET and WCF, where there are some scenarios, some basic scenarios where you can do it in both?
Yep.
And what about those customers that like that kind of lightweight, fresh, clean, snappable way that ASP.NET MVC does, who don't trust WCF because of the sins of the father?
So I think, A, one of the reasons why we've been working vehemently with the community since this effort started is we know that that exists. And the best way to change that is to pull the people in to work with us. I never like to stand there on any of the platform technologies I've worked on. I never like to stand there and tell you it's going to make your life better. I want some other guy who's using it to say it made his life better. That gives us credibility. Mm-hmm. And so we've been working with a large number of people and been very visible out front to make sure that we can. And everybody who has seen it has actually said, oh my God, I had written off WCF and this is looking interesting, or, oh, this is looking great. So I think that's a positive. We do have work to do. One thing we have to do is give guidance that says, look, if MVC is working for you, you don't have to change. Like, use what works. Big proponent of that.
This is part of the whole kind of open source Lego philosophy is that, hey man, use what makes you happy. If the shoe doesn't fit, buy different shoes.
Exactly.
So you and I have to think, you, me, Phil, Steve Sanderson, Damien Edwards, we're all of the same kind of mind where ultimately just do what makes you happy, do what makes you feel productive, and that's cool. So exactly. I recognize that you don't want to push this on anybody.
No,
you want them to try it, and if they like it, then maybe they'll tell their friends.
Exactly. And, I think that's orthogonal. Like if the community came to us and said, hey, could we do more to make a more seamless experience on MVC? I know personally, I'd be a huge fan of doing that. So far, I think what we've seen, and I think it's a product of where we're at, REST is not young, but REST in the way we're starting to use it is. And because of that, I think there's a lot of people in MVC land today that are just thinking about, say, jQuery to a front end, that over time, with the proliferation of devices and things, this may start to become more important to them. But right now, it's not. So people have seen what we're doing, and even a lot of folks from the MVC crowd have said, that's great, awesome. I love the direction that you're going. It's much better than what was there before. We're not seeing a lot of people that are struggling and saying, oh, why would I use this over MVC? It does come up. The positioning that I like to take is it's about motivations. I think when I come to ASP.NET, I start with the idea of building a site. Over time, as I start to move towards more rich UI, or maybe suddenly new devices do show up, I may say, well, I'm over an MVC already. It's easy enough for me to do it myself. Depending on what I'm doing, as you mentioned, like e-tags and other stuff, that may be easy or not. I think that fundamentally, MVC is a really good architecture. So there's lots of things you can plug in. But is it something that the team is going to be focused on building, or is it going to be something that you're going to be doing yourself or using from the community? But again, I still think it starts with the site, and over time there's a bit of bleed. On the other side are companies where they were just building SOAP services. They don't even know anything about websites. They've used WCF, and now they see that what they thought was going to be the answer for everything is not, but they want to still offer that same functionality to other kinds of devices. And so they will look at Web API and they'll get into jQuery, because they'll say one of the consumers is going to be jQuery front ends.
So you keep mentioning other devices, and you said iOS a couple times and Android. Help me understand, if I'm going to go and deliver a website to iOS, then I'll use different markup and I'll use different CSS rules and different JavaScript. But are you talking about delivering services in a format that a particular device would really want?
Absolutely. Let's use your iCal example.
Okay.
Let's say I want to offer up data that can push right into my iPad's calendar, right? I can't wait for Apple to suddenly, I could decide to wait till Apple, adopts the Microsoft format, even something like OData.
No,
which
iCal
may be a great.
iCal is iCal. It will always be iCal.
Exactly.
And it works everywhere.
So if I can talk that format, I'm going to have a much richer interaction with that device.
Okay.
So I would say that is the example. One great example. And there's, as I said in my talk, there's thousands of different media types. I might even building an application that's really specific. It's not something that every customer is going to use. It's something to deal with my company. But like, for example, there are media types for scientific data. But for our business need, we want to be able to richly interact with applications that understand that format. There's geocoded JSON. It's JSON, but it's a specialized type of JSON. So it's the same type of thing. I think it's where the interactions go beyond the browser would be one of the pivotal points.
Okay. Do you think that these are interactions that we don't see? Like perhaps MVC and ASP.NET get kind of more press because public websites are coded in this way, and jQuery and JSON are something that you can see when you just say view source. But this kind of things like scientific usage or KML or Google Earth type stuff or all these other kinds of things, we don't really look at that traffic. It's traffic you don't see because you can't go view source.
That's a great way to look at it. I think that's part of it. I think part of it is a product of where we are in the industry as well. Like I said, REST in the way that we're starting to use it now is still very new. One of the showcases I've talked about in terms of customers is Best Buy and Comcast as two recent examples in the enterprise, which was the traditional WCF playground, that are saying, we want to take advantage of HTTP for the promises it offers us. And, you know, you mentioned how caching, but it's even more than that. It's evolvability. It's version, it's being building systems that are version tolerant, where I'm exposing APIs, but those APIs are designed in such a way that I can actually evolve them and change them without breaking existing clients.
That's an interesting point. One of the things that came up with SOAP very, very early on was the notion of versioning. And ultimately, a lot of freaking out happened, but people just ended up putting different endpoints at different endpoints. Like version one was at, whatever.com/v1. And that seems to be the way people are doing things with services now in JSON.
Yes.
Is there something special that you guys do around versioning that we should know about?
There's a very interesting topic, which I think you covered with Mike Amundsen on your podcast, which is known as hypermedia. And it's a scary term, but it basically means systems that drive navigation through the system, through linking, and where it's not UI navigation. I'm navigating a process, which is very different than the way we think about things. We think about things where I send a message and some server decides where I go next. This is more like the browser experience, but for non-UI, where the server offers me up a list of options of where you can go next. And at the end of the day, doing those types of things requires you to have a lot of control over the media type, the format. That is the coupling in REST. And so we're making it really easy to write those types of formats. Mm-hmm. And I've just done a talk on that, actually, which got a pretty good reaction on how you can build distributed systems that do complex logic, but that are version tolerant because they use hypermedia. So short answer to your question, it's not something that Microsoft owns specifically. It's something that is inherent in the design of HTTP. You need a good platform that enables you to leverage it.
Now, one question that I think, and I kind of like to pick on Microsoft a little bit. I like to juxtapose old Microsoft and new Microsoft. Old Microsoft would say, all right, Glenn, who's your competition in the space, right? And that gets into the whole kind of like embrace and crush style of old Microsoft, but we at least in DevDiv are really doing the best, at least the new guys and gals, to do things a little differently. I know that there are other services out there. There's Nancy, which is a Sinatra clone. Sinatra is a services system for Rails and Ruby, and Nancy is a .NET reimagination of that. Nancy Sinatra, kind of a joke there. There's nice. Also Owen, Owin, and mm-hmm. I had Benjamin over from Kayak.
Yep.
Are those parallel, orthogonal? Where do those fit into this larger ecosystem?
I would say that the work that's being done with Owen and the work that's being done, and I'm involved with Owen, by the way. I've been involved with it.
What does Owen stand for?
Open Web Interfaces for .NET, I think, is the actual term. It's based on things that appeared in Ruby and Python, and probably you discussed this. In Ruby there's Rack, and in Python there's WSGI, and it's a standard set of interfaces for building a web server. What I would say is different is that we're more specific to the idea of application functionality being exposed over APIs. The work that's going on with Nancy and the work that's going on with Kayak and Owen is all about a lightweight web server of which, yes, you could layer on top of it. And to give you an example of where we're working with them, one of our new extensibility points in WCF and our new web API is perfect for Owen, because Owen wants to be able to put middleware, which is the idea of like reusable things that I could use on web server of my choice. That's what Ruby and Rails and Rack brings you. And we're enabling that. And we're working with the community. As a matter of fact, Jason Sirota, who's one of the core people on Owen, he and I are pairing up to show how you will do that with WCF. Go ahead.
Okay, so you're saying that Owen and Nancy and those things are a little bit lower level?
Nancy actually also is agnostic to host. I worked with Andreas and they built a WCF host for Nancy. So Nancy is higher up actually.
Oh, okay.
Nancy is, Sinatra is more of like a programming model. And Nancy is saying, hey, you could run us on ASP.NET, you could run us on WCF, or you could run us on Kayak. And Owen, ideally Nancy will build on top of Owen, mm-hmm. because Owen will be the standard. You know, if we think about common service locator,
right.
The best way I like to describe Owen, it's almost like the common service locator of web servers.
Okay. I see.
To mentally attach
right,
to it.
Right. I think another way to think about it is in terms of like an hourglass. An hourglass fans out at the top and it fans out at the bottom.
Yes.
But there is a central thing, a router that manages that many-to-many relationship between things above it and things below it, and Owen is that linchpin that
yes.
makes it all work together. Now, one thing that people who are listening, at least for the few people who have made it this far into this episode of Hansel Minutes, they may have just heard a flood of not just three-letter acronyms, but a flood of code names that are creative and fun and interesting, but ultimately meaningless.
You mean in terms of Nancy and Owen?
Nancy and Kayak and Owen and this and that. And
it's all about enabling the community. Uh-huh. I think that's the highest level you can say is there's a lot of efforts in the community around building web servers. And you can still use those efforts and use the Microsoft bits
but
as well.
Where does the listener go to get an understanding of this? I mean, I know that I've learned these names and what they mean. And I can translate, there's like the English language and then there's what you and I were just speaking. Which is the code name of technology, right? Where do you read? Are there websites dedicated to this kind of work, or do you troll around on Twitter, or do you spend time in Google groups? Where do you learn these things so that folks who are listening can either lurk or get involved?
Well, Nancy and Owen both have Google groups, discussion groups. I don't know exactly which ones, what the names are, but
okay, we'll go ahead and put those in the show notes.
That's one place to go. I think Twitter is a great place to get aware of a lot of these things. As a matter of fact, Owen was born on Twitter. I mean, it was born a bunch of conversations. Nancy was the catalyst, actually, for Owen. Nancy came out, and there were a bunch of other Sinatra clones out there, and then Scott Kuhn, Lazy Coder on Twitter, came and said, hey, this is not the first Nancy, this is not the first Sinatra clone. There's about 8 of them. Why don't we all get together and just come up with an idea of, a common way to do web servers as a community and work on it together? And thus, Owen was born. And Nancy had also created its group. But Nancy really was the catalyst, from my perspective, that caused all this flurry. But yeah, it's just out there. There's no one. I mean, there are sites. There's like GitHub and things like that.
So where do I go to get your new stuff, the WCF REST API?
Ours is pretty easy. So first I would say it's not a REST API. We've been very careful you can use it, but I think it's important to mention.
But what is it called?
It's called WCF Web API.
Web API.
Yes.
Not specific to REST.
Because REST is a very, we've learned a lot. REST, what we thought was REST was not REST. REST is a very specific way of doing things. We want to enable it. But we're not forcing it, and we don't want to imply that everything you do with our API is RESTful.
Okay.
WCF.codeplex.com is where you can get it. We just did a big release at Mix of our latest bits.
And can I get it in NuGet as well?
You can. We actually launched NuGet packages. If you go to webapi.all as your NuGet package, you will get all the packages, but there are individual packages that you can pick and choose from. There's about 5 of them.
Okay, so the what was it?
Webapi.all.
So webapi.all is a meta package, a package of packages.
That's what it is, yes.
All right, very cool. We'll check that out. Thank you so much, Glenn Block, for chatting with me today.
Thank you, Scott. It was wonderful.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes. I'll see you again next week.